this summer and probably started all the way back in the spring. I could look back in my notes, but such an amazing passage. We mentioned it in discipleship class. We didn't open our Bibles to it though, so I'll put it on the screen tonight. 1 John chapter 3 verse 9. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. You'll never understand this verse unless you understand that you're a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body. When Nicodemus had his nighttime conversation with Jesus and Jesus told him that he had to be born again, Nicodemus tried to understand that from a flesh first, flesh only perspective. And Jesus explained to him that that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. One of the most important things that we can acknowledge where our new birth is concerned is that our new birth is a literal experience. Many today are downplaying, even refusing to preach and teach on the new birth and talking more about social change and things of that nature rather than the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation. But even those who still proclaim the new birth, many only think of it or understand it as being something figurative instead of something literal. And we see that the Bible teaches just the opposite, that our salvation involves the seed of God's word, which is incorruptible, that lives and abides forever. And that is the seed from which we were born a second time. We also see that when Jesus explained these things to Nicodemus, he explained that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now, a few things that we've commented, I want to add a little more to it tonight. The part of this verse that says, for his seed remains in him. So the seed from which we were born the second time, the seed of God's word, the seed of his life, it remains in us in the same way that an apple seed is in an apple, a watermelon seed is in a watermelon. We see that when God created physical things that he put his seed in them. We'll maybe turn to that verse here in a few minutes. But we see that, and we have to remind ourselves of these things, that the spiritual is not patterned after the natural, but the natural is patterned after the spiritual. Before there was ever physical soil to plant a seed in, God was a farmer. He plants and seeds and you know, spiritual things first, and then the natural, as far as we see this in the tabernacle when God instructed Moses to build it. It was an earthly copy of a heavenly original. It was something that existed in heaven. Not that God had to do it, but you know, he could have went down there and like pulled a tape measure on it and then sent the dimensions down to Moses. So God's seed remains in us. Remember in Ephesians, he says, the oneness and the unity that we have with God, he said, it's not that that oneness and unity is like marriage, it's that physical marriage between a man and a woman is like this. Because before God ever created a man and a woman to be joined together in matrimony and become one, God had in his heart and mind to be one with us. And so we see that God's seed remains in us, and seed determines nature. Seed reproduces according to its kind. And when we were born the first time, we were born from the corrupted seed of Adam. We possessed a corrupted nature because of that. But now we've been born a second time and we've become a partaker, 2 Peter chapter 1, a partaker of the divine nature of God. So seed determines nature. But there's one other factor that we haven't mentioned in this, and that is seed is the vehicle that God uses to transfer life. Seed transfers life. If you think about it, a seed is a life-containing capsule. God puts life in a seed. Amen. And if His seed remains in us, then His life remains in us, both by and through the Holy Spirit who's in us, but also by and through the life-containing capsule of His seed. Now, we know that different seed contain different forms of life. And you may or may not know this, but all living things, although, of course, different, have DNA. Plants have DNA. Animals have DNA. Fish, birds. It's not just human beings that have DNA. But life is as profound and as amazing as it is. Life is more than a strand of DNA. That DNA informs and communicates to cells on how to function and determines everything from the shape of your fingernails to the color of your eyes. And it's fascinating that it's actually written code or written language that produces the different characteristics of life. But life is more than DNA. We know the Bible teaches that life is in the blood, but life is more than blood. Blood is a container of life. It's a vehicle of life. But what we ultimately see is that life comes from God. We could say it that way, that God is life. So here's a few thoughts just to keep building on tonight. Life has never spontaneously erupted from non-life. Now, we know that Jesus raised people from the dead, but these were people who were once alive. Their spirit and soul had separated from their bodies, and Jesus called their spirit and soul back into their body. I'm talking about like a rock has never like just all of a sudden sprung to life. Again, life has never spontaneously erupted from non-life. What we know from both the scriptures and practical experience is that life flows from life, and it does so through a seed. Think about this now for a moment. Life flows from life, and it does so through a seed. And then the third characteristic, the source, capital T, capital S, the source of all life is God. Animal, plant, human, the smallest microorganisms to the largest, whatever they are, elephants, I don't know what's the biggest one. Amen. My grandsons could tell me. Praise God. But the source of all life forms of life, is God. Apart from God, there's no life. Apart from God, there's no life. And of course, we see in the Genesis account where He spoke and He created. And as He spoke and as He created, well, let's look at it. Genesis chapter 1. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind." Notice, "whose seed is in itself on the earth," and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So we see something about the things that God creates. He doesn't just create life, but He, at the same time He creates life, He puts the seed of life in the thing that He creates so that that thing can then become prolific and perpetuate life through the seed that's in it. Amen? Now, I want the Holy Spirit to help each one of us, and sometimes things land on my heart, and really touch me and impact me. And so I'm like, okay, Lord, this, we're going to go with this, you know. And my desire is that it lands on your heart. And sometimes I want it to land on your heart the way it landed on mine, because I want it to produce in you what it produced in me. But we're all at different places, and I got that already. But you understand that there's different levels and degrees of hearing. I don't get too lost in trying to explain what I'm saying here. But the Bible says faith comes by hearing, not by having heard. And sometimes you can hear something and then hear it again and then hear it again and then hear it again and then you hear it. Then it's like, whoo. It's like the passage of scripture that says the word of God is like the hammer that breaks the rocks into pieces. And, you know, it's that way sometimes when we confess the word, we speak the word, and we continue to speak, we continue to confess the word. If the word of God is a sword, then we swing it by speaking it. We activate it by speaking it. If it's a hammer, we chip away by confessing it and by speaking it. And so there are, when I say there are different levels or degrees of hearing, amen, it's how the word of God, you know, ultimately lands in our heart and what it brings forth. And so what I'm wanting the Holy Spirit to help all of us connect with tonight is what we see in Genesis chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, and what we read in 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. Do you see the connection there? When God created that plant, he put the seed in the plant. When God created that tree, he put the seed in the tree. When God created that animal, he put the seed in the animal. Are you following me? And then when he recreated you and me, he put his seed in us now. Prior to that, it was Adam's seed in us. But now it's his seed in us. Now that which is born of the flesh is flesh. But aren't you glad we've been born again? And this time we were born from above. We were born of God. We were born again of the incorruptible seed of God's word. And now life that is transferred through a seed, the life of God is in us. I put this in my notes. There's a new seed in us now. The seed of the first Adam, now we have the seed of the last Adam. The incorruptible seed of the word of God. And as we've already mentioned, and we see it here in Genesis chapter 11, verse 12, seed produces fruit according to its kind. Seed produces fruit according to its kind. Now, the next connection that I'm ultimately wanting us to see and make tonight is that the seed, God's seed in us now that produces fruit after its kind, this is the fruit, this is the seed that's in us, it produces the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is coming from the seed of life, God's life, that's in us. So, for example, when he talks about the love, the joy, and the peace, let's just take those first three. The love, the joy, and the peace. We're not just talking about a joy, a love, a peace. We're talking about God's joy, God's love, God's peace that's being produced from his seed in us. His seed in us. Let me stop for a minute. Stuff just kind of bounces in my spirit. It was bouncing in my spirit during praise and worship. Brother Donald and I were talking, you know, there's some guy that was bashing Brother Copeland. Cause if you ever heard Brother Copeland preach and teach, you know, he'll be like talking to you. The next thing you know, he'll be having a conversation with the Lord, and then he'll, you know, share some more. And of course this man was basically saying that Brother Copeland was just making all that up. And I experience that all the time. And I'm experiencing it right now. Amen. Just bouncing in my spirit, telling. And sometimes, you know, it'll bounce once. I'm not trying to be disrespectful or rebellious or ignoring the Lord, because I want to make sure it's not just me. I'm not saying this bracket. I've been preaching for decades. I mean, it's not that I'm never without something to say, but I'm not just here to say something. I want to say the right thing. You know, there's a big difference. Amen. And so this keeps bouncing in my spirit. Some of you are familiar with Southwest Believers Convention. It's an annual event out in Fort Worth, Texas. And it's hosted and put together by Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And I've never been. I go to the ministers' conference in January, but I've never been to the Southwest Believers Convention. But I try to listen. And it's all on YouTube, and sometimes it's on KCM.org, and you can even, if you'd rather listen than watch. And but I always try to listen to every speaker every year at least once. And there have been some sermons I've listened to. Man, there's one Keith Moore did about 3 years ago. I need to go listen to it on the way home tonight again. It's just, you know, just again, word in due season for me. But this year, first time that I've ever known of Brother Benny Hinn was in the lineup for one service. And you mentioned it. I think you've already, you know. Well, I listened to it. I listened to that sermon. I listened to it twice. At least twice. I don't exaggerate. I know I listened to it twice, so I'll just leave it at that. Okay. And and he was talking about the Word of God, and it very, very impactful. And I'm saying all that to say, you would do yourself some good. Just go. You can do SWBC, Southwest Believers Convention 25, SWBC 25. And it's Benny Hinn. He spoke on day five. And he was there to do healing school, but he didn't teach on healing. He taught on the scriptures. He taught on the word of life. And so one of the things that he said that I had never heard anybody say it quite this way, and that is that all the other religious books, the different religions, he said, none of them contain prophecies. Never thought about this. But none of them contain prophecies. And you know why? It's because if they say something, if they prophesy something in that book and it doesn't happen, then the whole religion comes crashing down, right? But God in His Word, because He's trying to provide assurance for us that His Word He's the true and living God and His Word is true. 2,500 prophecies in the 66 books of the Bible, and 2,000 of them have already come to pass. Wow. Wow. And so he used this example, and he asked someone in the audience, he said, if you have a book, not a Bible book, just a book, bring it to me. So they brought it to him. And so I was working and listening, so I didn't see what the book was. But he said, any book, and I thought about this because of becoming a threat to addiction. He said, any book that's written by a man or a woman, right, it's going to be a picture of that person in some way. And so, again, becoming a threat to addiction, obviously the Lord revealed the things in there, but anybody's ever heard me teach on addiction recovery the past 30 years, you've heard me say some of the things that are in that book. And so in some ways, it is a reflection of what the Lord has revealed to me about addiction recovery. So he says, any book that's written by a man or a woman, it's going to be a picture of that person. And then he said, he took a Bible and he said, this Bible is not a picture of Jesus. It is Jesus. I don't know that really, I've never heard anybody say it like that. And I believe that 100%. I've said things similar, like you'll never love Jesus more than you love His Word. You'll never know Him better than you know His Word. You know, those kinds of things. I mean, He's the Word made flesh, but just, it was very profound to me the way he just real simple. I mean, of course he taught about the power of the Word of God and it's the Word of life, right? The Word of life. And the Spirit gives life, flesh profits nothing, holding fast the word of life, Philippians 2, John 6, 1 Peter chapter 1, Hebrews 4, I mean, just go on and on and on and on, right? But what the Holy Spirit was doing as I was listening to that is, you know, all these notes and things we've been talking about together on Wednesday night as it relates to the fruit of the Spirit, as it relates to the fruit of the Spirit. So God put his seed in us, and his seed remains in us. His seed abides in us. Remember Romans 11:29, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. They're irrevocable. So when God put his seed of life in you, it's a gift that he gave you. He's not going to take it back, nor will he ever return you back to the condition you were in before he gave that to you, that gift to you, or put that seed in you. Amen. So we're, now let's connect one other thing together. Are y'all still with me? In Mark 11, I call it the greatest faith lesson ever taught. And it's Jesus. It's when he cursed the fig tree. And it was an object lesson. And his disciples heard him. They saw him walk up to the tree. There was no fruit on the tree. They heard him say, "Let no man eat fruit from you ever again," and walk away. And they're like, you know, nothing, no explanation from Jesus. You know, just, again, he's working them. Amen. In a positive way. And so the next morning they walk past the tree. It's dried up from the roots. If they hadn't said anything, I believe Jesus would walk right past it. But the disciples were like, "Jesus, look, the fig tree, it's dried up from the roots." And in that moment where Jesus had their attention, I call it striking while the iron's hot. You know what I'm saying? In other words, when their hearts are so engaged and they're in such awe and they're in that moment of like, wow, you know, it's just, Jesus says, "Have faith in God." But the literal translation is have the faith of God. Have the God kind of faith. Amen. Well, what kind of faith do you think the seed of God's life in you is going to produce? What kind of love, what kind of joy, what kind of peace, what kind of patience, what kind of kindness, what kind of gentleness? Are you following what I'm saying here? The fruit of the Spirit, please hear me. I'm not trying to leave the Holy Spirit out of this. 100% fruit of the Spirit. Remember, you were born again. God put a new spirit in you. Then he put his spirit in you, and your new spirit and the Holy Spirit became one spirit. But when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, you know, we're also talking about the seed of God in his life that abides in you, that is also instrumental in producing that fruit in your life. Amen. Are you still with me? All right. So I like to say it this way. A tree is known by its fruit, but it's determined by its seed. It's known by its fruit, but it's determined by its seed. And so Jesus said, make the tree good and its fruit good, or the tree bad and its fruit bad. Why would he have to say such a thing? It's because three-dimensional beings, they can produce works of the flesh that mimic fruit, but it's no fruit at all. And I like to say this. The seed that made you who you are remains in you. The seed that made you who you are remains in you. And like a tree, you were designed to live from the inside to the outside. Like a tree, you were designed to bring forth fruit from within yourself outward. Now, all that said, let's connect another verse. Mark chapter 4, verse 14. The sower sows the word. What word? Well, the word of life. Amen. The word of life. The sower sows the word. The word of life. And then from the old covenant, Proverbs 18 and 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Those who love it will eat its fruit. We talk about the fruit of the Spirit versus the works of the flesh, and We've been all around this. We still haven't. And it's like, no joke. I will drive home tonight and I'm like, okay, Lord, we're finally going to get into all these things that you've given me to give to the people about the difference between the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. And then we come around, I start preparing for Wednesday night, and it's like, here we are again. We're talking about related things, but we haven't really got to what I'm considering the heart of that particular, explaining the difference between works of the flesh and fruit of the Spirit. And maybe it's just because I'm excited about that last part and I'm rushing it. Amen. Because obviously the Holy Spirit's wanting to say some other things to us about this before we really, you know, get to that part of it. But, you know, we can compare, and the scriptures do compare our existence to a tree, but we are far more complex than a tree, right? And so one of the things that I feel like the Lord is showing me when it comes to those nine fruit of the Spirit and the seed of God's life that's in us, along with the Holy Spirit that produces those things in our lives, we cannot overlook the importance of our words when it comes to producing that fruit and bearing that fruit in our lives. Amen. Because again, death and life's in the power of the tongue. We've got everything needed within us to produce these things in abundance in our lives. And by the way, you know, you even, you know, what the world needs now, love, sweet love. I mean, what, does the world not need love, like true, genuine love more than ever in the history of the world? Does the world not need peace? Does the world not need joy? My goodness, when's the last time you've driven on the interstate? Does the world not need a little long suffering? For the difference between long suffering and patience, long suffering is what we would consider, in dealing with people. Patience is more about situations, right? So, you know, patience would be, somewhere 6 miles down the road, somebody's had an accident or a flat tire and, you know, you got to be patient with the situation. Long suffering would be, when the guy's on his cell phone in the fast lane doing 45 in a 70 mile an hour speed zone. That's long suffering. Amen. Okay. All right. Now watch this. What are you saying? What? Well, he can't hear me. The Lord can hear you. You can hear you. Amen. Are you speaking death or are you speaking life? Because see, every word you're speaking, it's either setting life in motion or it's setting death in motion. It's either bringing forth fruit, right? Amen. 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 So when we have those moments, and you probably have one driving home tonight, amen, it presents this opportunity for us to speak words in alignment with and in agreement with. We have the, let me say it another way. We are good trees. He made us good trees. He gave us the ability to bring forth good fruit. But the reason Jesus said make the tree good and its fruit good or the tree bad and its fruit bad is because you had religious leaders that were trying to mimic good fruit, but they had evil hearts. And the same can be true. Somebody that he's made them a good tree, but they can still be immature with a non-renewed mind and be presenting bad fruit from what is ultimately a good tree. So obviously an apple tree that's healthy brings forth apples. And beloved, I wish above all things you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. So there's a prosperous, healthy soul that's necessary here in order for that the fruit of the Spirit to be produced and brought forth into our lives. But where does our cooperation come into play in all of this? And it's speaking the words of life. We've got the seed of God's life that will produce the fruit of those things. That seed reproduces after its own kind. We've got the nature of God in us, reproduces after its own kind. But we still have a choice in what we say, in what we study and know, what we've, Matthew 12:34, what's in your heart in abundance is going to come out of your mouth, right? So what we load in is going to come out of the treasure of a man's heart. He brings forth either good things or evil things. All right. So death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. All right. Now, can you, just a few more minutes. Can you hang in here just a few more minutes? Praise God. All right. So let's just go back to the passage. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 25. I say then, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary. Say contrary. These are contrary to one another. They're trying to cancel one another out. They're trying to, your Spirit, the Holy Spirit, your born again Spirit, trying to make progress. Your flesh is in opposition, trying to stop the progress. And if anything, try to get you backing up. So that you do not do, they're contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, that's the key right there. If you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. But he's going to tell us anyway, right? which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. And so, you know, some of these are just like categories unto themselves. In other words, they would be like a heading with multiple manifestations of the lust of the flesh underneath them, or the works of the flesh underneath them. That those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God, meaning they will not possess the kingdom and experience it in their life reality, the kingdom that's already in them. But the fruit of the Spirit, here it is, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness. Man, kindness. Kindness. We had a speaker at our last ACRAM training a few weeks ago, and he handed out these little, I got one, I should have brought it up here. You got it right there. Look at that. Amen. It's TYFYK, and it stands for thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your kindness. Amen. And so, you know, it's not hard to be kind. It's not hard to be kind. And we sometimes think of how we benefit from these things, but a fruitful life bearing the fruit of the Spirit is not just for your benefit, but it's for the benefit of people around you. Are you following me? So love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Remember, God's put good in you. He's put good things in you. We've got to acknowledge every good thing that's in you. Faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So, you know, everybody wants to talk about the love, the joy, and the peace, not so much about the long-suffering. We'll work at the kindness and the goodness. Yeah, we could be more faithful, gentle, sure. Self-control, nah. But again, see, we're trying to work self-control in the flesh. Right? Miss Pam holds my feet to the fire, so, you know, trying to eat better and do better and all that stuff. And so last night I got a chocolate chip cookie, and she says, you eat it. If you eat it, that's fine. She goes, but I don't want you to hear later that you're going to wish you hadn't ate it. Right? Amen. Right? What is she telling me? If you're going to eat it, enjoy it. And don't complain about it later. And if you're going to complain about it either, just go put it back in the kitchen. Amen. And I'm like, thank you, darling. And I ate it, and I didn't complain about it. I enjoyed it. Amen. Amen. All right. All right. But again, self-control, right? Self-control. It's not, we sometimes, he didn't say willpower. He said self-control, right? And of course, self-control and the works of the flesh versus self-control and the fruit of the Spirit. And what will happen if we walk in the Spirit? We won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And it's like turbocharge for an engine on your self-control if you walk in the Spirit. All right. So those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh. Notice now, he's saying that you are a born-again spirit. You have already crucified the flesh. You just don't know it yet. In other words, you've already got the victory over the flesh. You just don't know it yet with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, and we do, if we've been born again, we live in the Spirit. Let us also walk in the Spirit. All right. So we're finishing again where at least we make a little more progress every week. Okay. But because of the effect sin has upon our thinking, mankind, and again, because we are in this world and we have to have our minds renewed instead of being conformed by this world, sin separated us from God, and over time, our focus shifted. And I'm going to put it up on the screen so you can see the words in all caps. Jesus didn't say, the Bible doesn't say in Genesis 1, and God blessed them and told them to do work. He blessed them and said, be fruitful. Be fruitful. But somewhere over all the generations, our focus shifted from being fruitful to doing work. Now, we look at this and we think, well, what's the difference? And I've been asking that question now for months and making notes about it, okay, because I think there's a big difference. There's a big difference. But the biggest difference is perspective. Being fruitful does not mean being lazy. Being fruitful doesn't just mean sitting back and letting it happen. Right? Especially for a three-dimensional being, that's what you and that's what we are, right? Okay. So being fruitful versus doing work. Let me get to this part, then we'll come back and backfill some of this next week. I think we'll backfill it and see what the Holy Spirit has. Praise God. Faith without works is dead, and we all say amen. But let me tell you another problem, and that's works without faith. In other words, we got to believe God and then act, respond, behave, do in agreement with, in correspond, you know, corresponding to what we believe. I think it's the, help me, Donald, what is it, corresponding action? Is that the, that's not the Amplified, it's the one Brother Copeland, Amplified Classic, and then there was another one that he, but you know what I'm talking about. The translation says, it's not faith without works, but it translates without works without corresponding action. And that to me, I need to look it up, but anyway. Do what now? Yes, but it's actually a Bible translation that had went out of print. And brother, there's a few of them, Amplified Classic and another one that Kenneth Copeland Ministries, their publishing arm, has actually brought it back into print, and that's one of the reasons for that particular translation of that verse. But a corresponding action, right? So we know that faith without a corresponding action is dormant, is dead. Okay. But there's also this other problem, is where we want to work without the faith or the believing, and try to produce. I have it in my notes this way because, see, the world and religion, they place a premium on people making something of themselves. Oh, boy, I'm going to tell you, she really made something of herself, right? The religious establishment, they asked Jesus because, you know, they thought they were going to be able to control him, and he was going to be the darling of religion and really gifted and maybe a prophet, you know, we see, you know, wait and see, maybe prophet, you know. And so when Jesus wouldn't play by their rules, they just point blank ask him, who do you make yourself out to be? All right, that's a key indicator of the difference between being fruitful and doing work. And it was the whole idea is we're trying to make something of ourselves instead of responding to who God made us and realizing that I've been born of God, His seed's in me, and because His seed is in me, I have the potential to bear the fruit of the Spirit and even do the works that Jesus did. Amen. But it's not about me trying to make a name for myself or, you know, these different ways that the world, you know, puts it. It's not about reputation and trying to be recognized or patted on the back. It's an exercise. Again, look at the words. We shifted from being See, fruitfulness begins with being. The works of the flesh. And remember we said last week, not all the works of the flesh are like blatantly or obviously sinful. Self-righteousness is a work of the flesh, where you try to make yourself right before God instead of what he told us in Scripture. Submit to his gift of righteousness. That's how you bear, you know, the fruit of righteousness. It's got to begin with being righteous, amen, and then that coming from inside of you out versus, I don't know about that, but I'm gonna do enough good works to make myself righteous. And so, see, there again, it's works of the flesh. And we know, of course, it's not acceptable to God. All right. Stand with me tonight. Praise God. Thank y'all so much for being here. I want to pray for you before we dismiss, but I just want to make sure that everybody, especially those, you know, in the room and those watching online, thank you for being with us live. Amen. Something about being live. Amen. Praise God. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. And thank you for the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of your calling, what is the exceeding greatness of your power to us who believe. Father, according to the working of your mighty power, what are the riches of the glory of your inheritance in us, that exceeding greatness of your power directed towards us. Father, that these inward realities of the new birth, including this beautiful, precious fruit of your Spirit, Lord, would be in our lives in abundance. And that you would show us, Father, that you're not trying to give us a standard to live up to, but an inward reality to give birth to produce, to something that comes from deep within us, out of us, into the world around us. And so, Father, we thank you for just, Lord, faithfulness. Again, Father, it's in us and now we're practicing it, Lord. Church on a Wednesday night, thank you for this faithful bunch, Lord. And Father, I thank you that you're a rewarder of those who seek you. And Lord, I thank you that every time we gather together in your name, according to the book of Malachi, you record it in a book. Somewhere in heaven, Lord, an angel, I don't know who does it, but I guess angels, Father, they've recorded this evening in a book in the names of everyone who were here, and I'm assuming those who watched online. It's that precious and important to you, and I thank you, Father, that it's precious and important to us. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you so much again for being here. Know that we love you. Know that Jesus.